So walking again, I actually walked and ran within 6 weeks of them predicting that I wouldn't. And that created such a deep shift within me. It started to transform this inner conflict that was brewing now I know for much of my younger years. I really don't think I believed in myself when I was young. And, you know, we have goals in our lives. You know, if you think of the goals, it's the conscious part of our brain, the tip of the iceberg. We have desires and goals. But just wanting something is not enough to make it happen. What we believe is what matters. And what we believe about ourselves and what we believe can be possible for us. And in that moment when I walked again, I shifted from having an inner conflict where what I wanted was not aligning with what I believed about myself and what could be possible. And then when I walked and ran again, that started to shift. And then there was this alignment that started to happen.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Well, the story of my guest today is so compelling and such a beautiful example of how our bodies have the capacity to not only heal physically, but heal us on an emotional level as well. When Amanda Campbell was in her 20s, she found herself in a hospital bed, nearly crippled with multiple sclerosis. And having arrived at that state, she recognized that she had spent the few years earlier in denial of her symptoms, in denial of the messages that were coming through her body. And what she shared with us in this journey and in this episode today was the shift in mindset, the tremendous capacity to access resilience, and how she's been able to leverage these two pieces moving forward to build a successful business and help other people overcome difficult situations to live a life on their terms. It was truly a pleasure having this conversation, and it is my honor to introduce you to Amanda Campbell. Amanda Campbell, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Megan. It's so wonderful to be here with you today.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this conversation, and I am so compelled by your story and how your story led to the work that you are now doing in this world. And we're going to have a conversation today around resilience and shifts in mindset and all this like really juicy stuff that I feel that the world would really benefit from. But before we get into that, Amanda, can you share with my audience your beautiful story and the compelling turn of events that you've had with respect to your health and the work that you're now doing in the world?
Absolutely. I'd love to. And thanks for the opportunity. It's really my passion to share my story so that I can inspire people that, you know, you can get through anything and you can, and the resilience required to get through hard stuff in life is what allows us to become the people to invite in what we're really wanting in our lives and to reimagine what's possible. So I'm a twin. I've got a twin sister, Nicole. She's the introvert. I'm the extrovert. So she's the yin to my yang. Her name's Nicole. And so, you know, we had a wonderful childhood. When we were young, we were always very driven and motivated, and we were lucky to attend schools that not only offered academics but music and sport as well. And we ended up in the music school most of the time, found a passion in music. We were playing lots of instruments and then we were singing. So I've always been a go-getter, you know, in my younger years and now, but I do realize now looking back that perhaps this was also a bit of an overcompensation and maybe even a protective mechanism growing up. But we don't know that until we sort of look back, do we? So I think it's a positive aspect of myself and I don't want to change it. But now I see how I can just sometimes when I get stressed, I get overproductive and I get too busy. But we'll talk about that later. And so when I was I finished school and then I went off to university. My sister was recovering from Crohn's disease. She had one of the worst cases seen and she actually flatlined and died twice but came back. and she's here and she's well. So we figured life was too short. So we decided to defer university in the first year to sing and dance full time. And this was when we were about 19 years old. And this is the year where I first experienced in dance school, I first experienced symptoms of pins and needles down the left-hand side of my face and fingertips. And so this prompted me to go and get it checked out. I went to my local GP and he ordered an MRI. And I had that MRI, but they only found one dot on my brain. So they couldn't diagnose me with anything at that stage. They didn't know what it was. So true to my nature, I just got on with my life. I fell into the fashion industry, a career I really enjoyed in my 20s. I got to work behind the scenes with designers, and I became a personal assistant. I just found something I was really, really good at. And around the age of 24, the symptoms came back, but this time the pins and needles turned into more weakness on the left-hand side of my body. So I went and had another MRI, but this time I had my results analyzed by a neurologist. And I remember going to my appointment, thinking the best, you know, everything's going to be fine. And I sat in front of him and he said, he looked at my results and he looked at me and he said, Amanda, I'm so sorry, but your results show multiple lesions on your brain, which means we can now diagnose you with multiple sclerosis. Now, looking back from that moment on, what I know now is I started to focus all of my energy on what I didn't want and what I was scared of that might happen, that I might end up disabled, bedridden, or worse. So I went out later. I worked harder and disconnected more and more from my body, denying how emotionally frightened I was about my future. And that's what we do when we're stressed. We focus on worst case scenarios. We focus on what we don't want because we're trying to protect ourselves, and our brain perceives this might be the safest way. And even old pain that we know hurts, as long as it's familiar, our brain might gravitate towards that familiarity. So it's hard to get out of our comfort zones. It's hard to be creative and innovative, to think of new solutions for what we're going through. So living in fear of my future, I started to live my life this way. And I didn't realize that what I believed really mattered, because what we believe is a mirror image of the biochemistry we fire in our bodies, and also how we perceive stress and how we process our emotions, how we show up in the world, all of that. So living my life this way, I started to deteriorate. And 5 years later, my worst fears were realized and the entire left-hand side of my body became completely paralyzed over a slow 10 days. So my face dropped, my arm twisted, it looked like a stroke, my hip, leg and foot just completely stopped working on the left-hand side of my body. So going from having a busy life, I started my first startup, Miss Amanda Fashion, always on sale, high-end website, and it was my first go at being an entrepreneur. So I went from, you know, thinking, oh, my life's amazing, I've got it all sorted, I'm a go-getter, to, you know, washing and feeding myself became the most difficult tasks of my day. That was the hardest time, and so I went to hospital for treatment, and they, you know, when you have a relapse with MS, they want to reduce the inflammation in your brain. So I had 3 days of steroids, but I still couldn't move, and that progressed to 5 days of medication, but I wasn't responding to treatment. So they transferred me to rehabilitation, where I would live for 2 months, and that's where the real work began. But first I sat in front of another doctor who then explained to me that I may never walk again, and I was 29 years old. That was the hardest, darkest time of my life. But it was as if we would light a candle in this well-lit room today. You wouldn't really notice the light. It's when everything becomes dark. That's a time when you find your light and what you're truly capable of. And that's how everything started to unfold from there. There were many, many weeks of no change, dark hole moments, black night of the soul, sitting in my wheelchair behind black sunglasses, crying, contemplating my future, quite disabled at age 29. But there was one day where everything changed. So typically on Tuesday nights, I would have girls' night, and I have a wonderful group of girlfriends, amazing love and support from my family and friends. So one Tuesday night, my very busy girlfriends in their busy careers came into my room in the hospital, where I was living, and my sister put me in my wheelchair and they wheeled me across the road to the pub and we had dinner. And we just sat there and I felt normal for the first time in a long time. And because of the polarity of life and going through such hard time for a number of months now, just sitting there with my friends, laughing and having those moments and just having dinner with them sparked so much joy in my body. It was as if I was experiencing joy and absorbing it for the first time. And I felt it as if it was coming into all of my cells in my body. And I felt this jolt in my head. And I thought, I must just be feeling really happy and elated. And I was. But I came back to my room after the lovely dinner and my toe moved for the first time on my paralyzed foot. And I screamed out to my sister and all the nurses who I became very close with because I was living there. And it was in that moment I found hope. And as a result, I started to focus my energy differently, feeling hope and for the future and more positive. I started to focus on what I wanted instead of what I didn't want, which was to get my mind, body, and back on track. The shift within me was enormous, and I take a very balanced approach, always have in my health program. I have a wonderful team of doctors. I had an amazing neurologist. I had speech therapy because I had to learn how to talk again and smile again. I went from being in a wheelchair to having a foot brace, to having my knee taped up, to walking on my own. And those first few steps walking again were indescribable. And it was with thanks of a kinesiologist that would come and work on me every few days in conjunction with some heavy duty neurophysiotherapy. And every time I would go to my physiotherapy session after my kinesiology session, they would say, wow, what have you been doing overnight? It's like you're 20% better today. So I knew I was onto something, and I was firing it at all angles that I could. And so walking again, I actually walked and ran within 6 weeks of them predicting that I wouldn't. And that created such a deep shift within me. It started to transform this inner conflict that was brewing now I know for much of my younger years. I really don't think I believed in myself when I was young. And, you know, we have goals in our lives. You know, if you think of the goals as the conscious part of our brain, the tip of the iceberg, we have desires and goals. But just wanting something is not enough to make it happen. What we believe is what matters. And what we believe about ourselves and what we believe can be possible for us. And in that moment when I walked again, I shifted from having an inner conflict where what I wanted was not aligning with what I believed about myself and what could be possible. And then when I walked and ran again, that started to shift. And then there was this alignment that started to happen. And I really see and understand now after studying and looking back and putting all the pieces together that what we believe also dictates the biochemistry we'll fire in our body. And as a practitioner now and a patient, I'm more aware that we're either firing growth and repair or survival and stress pathways in the body. And when we're believing negative things about ourselves or our circumstances, you know, we're firing more adrenaline and cortisol, inflammation and stress progression. Whereas in that joyful moment, it's almost like I let go of that survival program and allowed my body to allowed my brain to change its mind about what it had to prioritize. It's maybe what happened was my brain went, oh, okay, I feel more safe now, so I can now prioritize growth and repair, because I'm still trying to work out how did I recover when I wasn't supposed to. And, you know, walking and running again, and I left rehab and I was there for 2 months. And then that later translated into how I showed up in my life, in my relationships, in my career, founding two businesses in mindset and the nutrition space. It literally changed my life. And this is my 11th year of clear MRIs and amazing health, but I do still have to work on it.
Well, and all of these things are forever an evolution. And I'm really interested in hearing from you on this, Amanda. What shifted in your beliefs as a result of what you came through. Because I think often, and I'll talk about this when I'm coaching individuals, we're like, it's the belief system. But to shift the belief system requires so much work. What beliefs shifted for you as a result of what you went through?
I think in my circumstances, I had no choice but to succeed. So I waited until I literally couldn't walk. And sometimes we get so frightened of the unknown.
Absolutely.
And the black abyss of, getting out of our comfort zone. We become so rigid and we stay, remain. And I really think that, we have the mental aspect, we have the physical aspect, but we have the spiritual aspect of ourselves. And when our soul stops growing and evolving, it doesn't like it. And physical symptoms can be the end result of us not listening to our inner guidance of, hey, not that way. That's not the path. You've got to keep growing. You've got to keep moving forward. And I stopped growing in my life. I was frightened of pushing myself. I was frightened of failing. So I would be a go-getter and I would drum up business or I would make things happen for myself. But when it came to jumping on the stage with our gigs, or it came, showing up in that meeting and making that business really happen, or, and showing up in my relationships, I realized at a young age I wasn't believing in myself enough. And I think that living in hospital, having to learn how to walk again, I was forced. But when I saw the results after I applied myself and just sort of surrendered into the fear of the unknown, the results were mind-blowing. It was mind-blowing. And then I started to I guess that was the shift in my beliefs, is the results were so obvious. It was literally walking or not. It was a very physical thing as well as emotional.
And, you referenced your sister as well, and she went through a really traumatic time with respect to Crohn's. And I would love for you to comment on the evolution of how you have come to view the role of your body as a communicator and partner in the work that we do in this world. Because, it's been an observation that I've seen clinically for myself, that when individuals are younger and their body betrays them, it's rare that people don't have this immediate mindset, but they're like, oh, stupid body, you're falling apart on me, and you're not supporting me the way I want to. And then occasionally I get these people who grew up with a dialogue in their home where, your body is this, it's the canary in the coal mine with respect to what is going on. And I would love for you to comment as well around the evolution of your mindset and the respect for your body, because I would only imagine that you went through a love-hate relationship for a while as you were managing your disease, especially in the early phases.
Well, after I came home from hospital and I walked again, I was so grateful to be mobile again, but I still had to lie down half the day. I had fatigue, I had balance issues, I had bladder issues from my lesion. And so I had to go and study, and I started to research, and I first came across nutrition, and then I decided mindset's involved too, and I was inspired to study kinesiology because of that kinesiologist that helped me. And so now what I know is our mind is absolutely connected to our body, but our muscles are associated with our organs in Chinese medicine, and our brain is connected to our organs and our muscles via the nervous system. And in Chinese medicine, and we relate the different muscle groups that we have to emotions. And so, for example, if you've got, if your listeners out there might have a lingering sore neck or an upper shoulders and they just can't seem to get rid of it, even a massage won't do it, you want to look at your mindset and the emotions related to those muscle groups. And that's when we are overthinking, we get into obsessive thoughts, we're overanalyzing the future, overthinking the past, and you want to catch yourself in those moments and bring yourself back into the present moment, because pain in the body is often an end result of us not looking at something or not wanting to deal with something. And, some change and difficult emotions can be painful, but when we're super stressed and we've been stressed for a long period of time and we haven't built that inner anchor and resilience within ourselves where we're guided and we feel safe, we divert to, we avoid and we suppress, and we don't look at the symptoms as a special gift and sign of, oh, I need to look at something here.
Yeah, and it's such wise insight for someone who has walked that path. Talk to us, Amanda, about resilience and how the concept of resilience has really penetrated the work that you do now when you're helping other people with respect to their health. What role does it play in your conversations?
Well, I think, you know, it applies to anyone going through change, illness, what we're all experiencing right now globally, you know, with lockdown and the transformation that we're all going through. So I believe resilience is the ability to dig down deep when things get tough, when life throws you change, you know, those times where you feel like you can't go on and when you really want to give in, when the odds are even against you. Resilience is the ability to face adversity head on and to discover the light that's within you and the power that has always been there, but is only discovered when we go through adversity. And when we're young, we often look for this externally, but when we go through big change, so every day we go through change, but in cycles, big change and transformation comes up for us. And it, you know, this is the cycle of life, and the beauty of it is we want to invite change. We want to get good at change. We want to master change because it sets us on a path that we're ready to walk. So resilience is also the ability to manage stress, our health and our happiness, and it's the ability to rebuild our lives and to become our fullest potential. I actually have a formula for resilience and I'd love to share it with you.
I would love to hear that.
Okay, so it's anchor minus letting go plus flexibility equals resilience. So our anchor is, you know, think of a tree analogy or even the bamboo. When we're anchored, we have the ability to be more flexible. And when we're anchored, this is who you are, what you stand for, and knowing what you are made of. And when you have that deep inner knowing, you are more guided. You feel more safe. You are more inclined to find growth and repair pathways instead of survival and stress. You are able to move through change. You know you are able to be guided towards a path that is right for you, and you'll know what to walk away from. You're going to be happier and healthier when you have this deeper anchor within you. And then letting go, the ability to let go is so important. Mastering letting go is, you know, every day we will wash our body. How do you wash your mind of yesterday's thoughts, old redundant ideas, habits and beliefs that are no longer serving you? We need to continually have a ritual that allows us to check in like we would our budget or bank accounts, to reset and go, where am I at? Is this relevant for now or is this old? Because we create stories to make sense of things, and sometimes we're living our life through the lenses and the stories and perceptions of, you know, something that's really old and redundant now. Letting go is the ability to let go of judgment, being more the observer in your life, reacting less and separating unnecessary dialogue to situations. And with that, we can master flexibility, and flexibility in our mindset impacts everything that matters: our body's ability to repair, how happy and resilient we are, and how connected we feel. Flexibility is in our mindset, but it's also in our body. We want to be nurturing our body with movement and stretches, because when you are working on your muscles, you are processing your emotions. So you can be working out and processing guilt, anger, shame, stress, fear, all at the same time. And flexibility allows us to walk our talk, to achieve a higher understanding, so we can see obstacles as opportunities in our lives. Very important with business. And so, yes, that equals resilience. That's my formula.
I really love that. And I, you know, I was having this conversation with my 8-year-old the other day, and we were talking about the power of flexibility. And I just kept bringing her back to this idea of asking this question: what else could this mean? Because every time something was coming at her, she was so narrow focused on all of the beliefs she had around the event that was happening for her on that given day. And it was interesting, as we started to talk about flexibility, it was exactly flexibility of mindset that we got into. So I think it's amazing that it's part of that formulation and that formula you spoke to. One thing you said, Amanda, that I'd love to get your perspective on is that, you know, part of that definition of resilience is around, you know, that rebuilding on the other side of adversity. And what I'm curious about is it possible for us to develop resilience, for us to refine the skills of resilience without necessarily facing adversity?
I think that's a really good question. Absolutely. I think that resilience is learned. You know, we have to learn that in our lives. We all have the tools. It just needs to awaken within us. We have every thought, every decision either empowers us or disempowers us. And if you think of power as currency, and so, you know, when we're in our younger years and before we've even faced adversity, I think that we have the capacity to be resilient, absolutely, without. But I think that adversity and setbacks are gifts, and they allow us to realize our potential. And that's what happened for me, is what I went through, as hard as it was, it allowed me to discover what I was made of. And from that experience, I could reimagine what was possible in my life, despite living with a degenerative disease, mm-hmm. where if I Googled the statistics right now, I should not be where I'm at. And so when we reimagine what can be possible from us, it is only when we prove that to ourselves through adversity.
Yeah, I like that. And I like that interpretation. And where my question came from was, my husband and I were having this conversation. We both faced significant challenges when we were growing up, but we also credit those challenges with our own unique sense of resilience. And I say my own sense of resilience and adaptability is one of my secret weapons as an adult. And so the question that comes to us as parents is, how do we instill resilience in our children without putting them through trauma? And I love that you alluded to that, and I don't mean to take it to that extreme, right? But I hear these beautiful stories from people, and I have this incredible privilege on this podcast of hearing these amazing stories. And very frequently, the resilience and the overcoming and the beauty has been the result of the adversity. And so it's more of a philosophical question that I have, you know, raising my kids is, are they going to, they're all going to face trauma, and we're going to help guide them through that. And we're going to let them work through that. But, you know, is resilience a gift to those who've gone through through adversity? Or is it, how do we make it accessible, is one of the things I'm really interested in unpacking as a parent. And I don't expect you to have an answer, but I'd love your perspective.
No, I do. Now that I'm just, what comes to mind now is, you know, as in, we want to master change and we want to really get good at change. And as I said before, we go through change every day. Everything's consistently changing. In cycles, really big rapid transformation will come. Now, if you're doing inner work, you're washing your mind daily, you're building that inner anchor within yourself. We as parents can show, lead by example, having that anchor. Anyone in our lives that we're connected to are going to really feel that anchor within you, because there's less neediness, and it feels good hanging out with people that don't need you or anything. And that anchor is a pure example, which is building resilience in your kids, teaching them how to let go, teaching them how to master flexibility, showing that within yourself. And if we're building that every single day, then when the bigger adversity comes, we are prepared, and how we show up in those moments will be very different. So I think we can be very resilient despite adversity. I think you are correct.
Yeah, and the reality is we're going to face some element of adversity at some point in our lives.
Always.
If we're lucky.
Inevitable.
Right? Because it really, I think the commonality of individuals I've had the privilege to speak to is that the adversity they faced in their life was really what enabled them to blossom into the things that they are doing. It was the impetus for their life's work and their purpose and all of those components. And so I'd love to hear, Amanda, how what you've come through, which is incredible, has influenced the work that you are doing now. How has it impacted who you are as a business person? How has it accelerated your growth?
Oh, enormous. So the lessons I learned walking again, as it turns out, ended up applying to when I was building my businesses. So in startups particularly, where you've got to really believe yourself, you've got to really have that inner anchor, you've got to be so flexible and adaptable.
You don't have a choice. Yeah.
No. And you have to look after yourself when you're trying to perform at your best and you're you're on top of your game. So I am, that's not where I love working with businesses. I've got a resilience workshop where I help businesses that are going through change. But for myself personally, I built Bend Like Bamboo in 2014 and I set up my private practice and I started to see clients. And only a year later, I was just on this massive wave. A company called Vino Mofo and my partner at the time, we all co-founded Nourish, which was a business in nutrition that you know, we ended up in AFR and it was a startup. It was amazing and we had funding. And then all very quickly, I went from not being able to work and being paralyzed thinking I'm never going to have a career, I'm never going to achieve my goals in life, to having multiple businesses and I had to be on top of my game and I was the CEO of two companies. So it was, you know, whatever leaves your life, it comes back, you know, times 10, like a tidal wave. Don't worry. Like if you feel like you've lost everything right now, it just keep doing the work and what is supposed to come back into your life absolutely will. And so I look back now and I think, wow, I had to focus on my mindset. I had to meditate. I had to journal and ground myself every morning. I had to wash my mind so I could be creative and innovative in my meetings and developing new things that we hadn't even, no one had ever created in the tech and food space. Like we were, this is what we were, we had to be very, very creative and adaptable. And so the mindset and the nutrition and the connection and movement tools that I teach my clients in my private practice, I was implementing within myself during that time. And it's what got me through.
Yeah. And I want to explore that a little bit too, which is, what do you do for self-care now as you are so engaged, so that you're mindful of your health? So you have the preservation of the foundation of health in your life. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's really simple. It's just basic techniques, so it doesn't make it so that it's digestible and achievable every day. You know, I make sure I get adequate sleep. I make sure I get to sleep at a reasonable hour. When I wake up, how I wake up is really important. My morning ritual is more important than anything, and then my evening ritual is really important too. And then I have a ritual across the day. So in the morning, I'll make sure I'm drinking plenty of hydration. I'm getting the recommended daily intake of nutrients, nutrient-dense food, rich whole foods. And on days where I'm super stressed or I'm going through a massive transformation and change in my life, I'll need more than the recommended daily intake. I'll need more foods that really maximize repair. And that's what my work is very much about. Then I'll journal and I'll set up an intention. And I've got a journal that I created that helps me to identify not only what my intention is, but it's like doing the work on myself. So I'm processing my emotions. I'm reflecting on what I'm working on at that time. I'm getting out of my head and opening my heart more by writing down difficult emotions. It teaches me to stop suppressing how I'm really feeling. And so my journaling is really important. And then I'll meditate and empty and wash my mind, which allows me to then elevate my perspective to that higher perspective of seeing on top of the mountain where I can see my obstacles as opportunities. Because when we see things from a higher perspective, you can see all the reasons why everything is happening. We come out of that reactive state, that victim mentality. Then I'll go and what I listen to in the morning is very important, whether it's positive podcasts or something inspiring on YouTube. And then I'll exercise either, Pilates or yoga, or I'll do – so I love restorative exercise when I'm feeling tired or stressed. But then I, on days where I'm feeling really good, I'll do strength and endurance exercise like functional training. I love walking my dogs, of course. And then I absolutely have time with my dogs and I'll come and that's my kitchen in the morning. Or I might, go for a walk with a friend. Like during this time, that's all we've been able to do, right, is at the moment in Australia, we're at a point where we can walk with friends. So maintaining that connection. So mind, body, food connection are my pillars of health. And then in the evening, I'll journal and meditate as well. But over the course of the day, because I'm human, I'll forget. and I'll get triggered and I'll react. And so what I do, it's called the pineapple effect, right? That's a whole different podcast. But the pineapple effect, my twin sister and I have a word called pineapple. And because she's the introvert and I'm the extrovert, we trigger each other. And you'll find that in any relationship. So we have a word that allows us to catch ourselves, to let us know. And you can do this for yourself as well. It's designed to catch yourself in your reactions. Our reactions are a mirror image of what we're believing. And sometimes we just need a word to defrag ourselves in the moment, to remind us, get out of the past, get out of overthinking, come back into the present moment, our most creative state where we can reset.
And is pineapple your word?
Yeah, pineapple effect. Yeah, pineapple. I've got a big gold pineapple
awesome.
In my lounge room, and it just reminds me. And another thing you can do is you can just wear a wristband. I've got a wristband that says, bend like bamboo, I am enough, and I give that to my clients, and I wear mine every day. And it just, we need props and prompts that remind us.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. And when you're working with a client who's got mindset stuff going on, who's got physical health stuff going on, where do you start? Is it always the same place, or do you prioritize one over the other?
Whether it is an emotional or a physical ailment or a disease or a massive, whatever it is, it always comes down to addressing the inner conflict. What is their goal? Tip of the iceberg. What are they believing about themselves and what can be possible? Is there a misalignment there? Or is there an alignment? It always comes down to that first.
I love it. That is the juice that I was looking for.
Special sauce.
Right. And I love that because it's also part of your unique experience. It's one of the gifts and insights that you're going to be able to provide to the people that you are working with.
Before we jump into the rapid fire questions, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Fullscript. Fullscript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, dispense professional grade supplements and improve patient adherence from anywhere. It has the industry's most comprehensive catalog of products, has features like refill reminders and auto reorder, and even sends medically reviewed wellness content to patients on your behalf. I've been using Fullscript in my practice for years, so I have firsthand knowledge of the impact it can have on your patients and your business. First of all, it's super simple to use and loaded with features. Features like EHR integrations, customizable dosage instructions, and an evidence-based protocol library. It makes integrative medicine feel, well, integrated. It incorporates itself into your way of working, with your approach to wellness, even as that evolves, and most importantly, with your patients' day-to-day lives. As someone wanting to address patient adherence, eliminate inventory management, and earn more revenue for your practice, you really should give Fullscript a try. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/walker to start using Fullscript for free today. And if you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about Fullscript. Tell them I sent you.
Amanda, I feel like you have so much wisdom that we could unpack. And what I would really like to do at this point in the interview is transition it to something that I call our KPIs. So just like we have KPIs in our business, I believe we also have them in how we live our lives. So I've got a few rapid fire questions for you, if you will indulge me for a few more minutes. First question, what is the most impactful book or message you have heard over the course of the pandemic?
Oh, easy. Letting Go by David R. Hawkins. It's How to Master Letting Go. I'm 3/4 of the way through it. It's one of the best books I've ever read.
Well, that was easy. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Discipline. I'm very disciplined. I'm not sure why people ask me all the time. So whether it's applying meditation, I was going to say it's meditation, it's journaling, but no, it's high. It's above that. It's the discipline to just do it. And sometimes, as I said at the start of the podcast, I overdo it. But what I do have when I am in balance is the discipline.
I like where you took that, because I feel like that when we're looking at our health is actually one of the features of people who have such longstanding health, but they haven't been able to put the words to it. So I actually really appreciate that perspective. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Oh, it's such a hard question.
Okay. Besides, you know, like learning to walk again, because that's pretty darn badass.
I used to sing and write my own music.
That's amazing.
I used to sing and write myself. I've got an album which I never really released because I just didn't believe in myself enough in my teens. I could kick myself. But, okay, yeah, I used to sing and write my own music with my twin and you know, we loved it. And we loved, who knows, maybe we'll be the first twins that make it in our 40s and maybe we will re-release it now that we have all the knowledge and wisdom.
There you go.
But that's the first thing that sprung to mind. What you might not know about me, I don't know if it's badass, but I used to sing and write my own music.
That's pretty badass. I'm going to put it in that category. What do you do for fun or play?
I'm such a nerd. For fun, I work on myself. I do spiritual courses. I'm doing one with Carolyn Meese at the moment. Really obsessed.
Amazing. And last question for you, Amanda. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. We will totally take that. Amanda, you are full of wisdom and I really enjoyed the opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. Where can we send our listeners so they too can learn more about the amazing things that you're up to?
Oh, that would be lovely. So Amanda Campbell, CAMPBELL.com.au. I blog every week. My online course is about to launch and my podcast. So we'd actually love to have you on as well.
I would love to be there. So I so appreciate that. Amanda, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
The Anthropology Podcast is about leveling up your mindset, your health, and your business so you can maximize your impact in this world. To that end, we're going to begin with a new series of offerings to help you have that impact you've always dreamed of. Over on the Anthropology Podcast page, we're going to start doing live broadcasts of episodes. Sometimes these will be solo episodes, and sometimes these will be with guests. This is your opportunity to interact with us live as we are recording your favorite episodes. Adjacent to our Facebook page, we also have the Anthropology Collective, a free Facebook group with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs just like you. In the Anthropology Collective, we're going to keep you up to date on upcoming masterclasses, interact daily, as well as have new offerings like our badass book club. After a two-year hiatus, we are bringing it back. Our new April and May selections are going to be announced in the coming weeks, and we would love for you to participate in all of these new virtual offerings. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. That is what inspired us to start this podcast in the first place. And that is what is inspiring us to keep going. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Give us a like over on Apple iTunes and come and join us in the collective. We'll see you there. Earlier in the episode, I mentioned Fullscript. Remember, Fullscript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, dispense professional-grade supplements and improve patient adherence from anywhere. For example, when you write a prescription with Fullscript, it gets sent directly to patients via text or email. And when they place an order, their supplements get shipped right to their front door. It's incredibly convenient for everyone involved. The most incredible part, though, is that it's completely free and available to all kinds of practitioners. Actually, while we're on the subject, every account has the ability to adjust profit margins or even choose a no-profit option. This gives you complete control over balancing revenue with patient affordability. So if you're looking to boost patient adherence, eliminate inventory management, and earn more revenue for your practice, you really should give Fullscript a try. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/walker to start using Fullscript for free today. If you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about Fullscript. Remember, tell them I sent you.